This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning, and joining me from the depths of Kuala Lumpur is Lin Mark. It is now 6 a.m. in the morning, Tuesday, 13th of October. And I think we all woke up this morning to some very, very, or at least before we went to sleep last night, we had, I guess, a very... What's the right word? A big change in terms of what's going to be happening for the Klang Valley, Selangor and Putrajaya. Yeah, a bit of an upheaval. A sense of deja vu, unfortunately. We are officially going into the CMCO starting from midnight today. I think on the 14th of October, it's official. Were you surprised by the news, Lin?
I was. And you know, the thing was that I was on the road and I was going out to get groceries and everything. So I missed all of the messages that came flooding in until I got home, put down my groceries and looked at my phone. And I was like, oh, I wish I could just kind of crawl back into my car, you know. I was just like...
I mean, the rationale for this is that it's a preemptive move because we don't want certain spots which are now in the Klang Valley in Selangor, of course, which are yellow, to turn red. And I think there is... a rational reason for all this. It is important that we flatten the pandemic curve. But at the same time, I think people have a lot of questions about the implementation of it and what are the SOPs, which I think will be revealed later today when the Defence Minister, Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri, makes the relevant announcements. But till then, I think there was a lot of confusion. And even in my neighbourhood, I could see a lot more traffic, people lining up to buy their groceries because people were uncertain. So once again, I wonder whether it is better if everything is announced at the same time. But we will know later today. And of course, at BFM, we will be following up with all these stories. But what else do we have for you later today, Lin?
So later on at about 6:30, we're going to be taking a look at the international news, of course. So what's been happening in the UK, as well as the fact that China's taken the step to test 9 million people in 5 days for COVID-19. So that's going to be happening after the 6:30 news. 6:45, we're of course looking at our local papers and portals. And then after this, we're asking, you know, can humour help you cope? Is it always appropriate?
I'll say the answer is yes, automatically. You definitely need to keep a sense of humour.
Especially after yesterday's news.
Well,
right?
I think throughout this whole COVID-19 pandemic, you've got to have some sense of humour that keeps, you know, I guess, keeps your spirits up a little bit. Otherwise, yeah, the news can overwhelm you. And as we know, Mental Health Day was just last Saturday. So it's important to also still, nonetheless, to check in with yourself and how you feel and have that conversations with friends or even someone who is trained if you feel that you need to. There's never any shame in that whatsoever. But meanwhile, I'll be talking about whether birds of a feather do flock together and whether that actually does help your career. I think the answer is also pretty obvious for that. But as always, if you want to weigh in on our conversations, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll have more after this in just a few minutes. But first, there's that classic song, I Shot the Sheriff by Bob Marley and the Wailers. Don't go away, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was I Shot the Sheriff by Bob Marley and the Wailers. Good morning. This is The Morning Run and I'm Wong Xiaoning with Lin Mark. It is now 6:08 in the morning, the 13th of October, and on a Tuesday. Up next, actually, we've got this story from The Guardian, which I think is very, very apt considering what happened last night. And it's entitled, You've Got to Laugh, Why a Sense of Humour Helps in Dark Times. I think there is this sense of almost helplessness and a little bit of frustration that we've come so far with the COVID-19 pandemic. We seem to have successfully flattened the curve. But here we are again in another phase of CMCO, where cases have risen to above 560 yesterday, of which, if I'm not wrong, 69 in Selangor, 28 in Kuala Lumpur, and of course, almost 300 in Sabah and another 140 in Penang. These are, of course, not 100% accurate numbers. So when you look at this, you think, you know, we have come so far, yet we seem to be moving two steps backwards. And, you know, what can we do? How can we overcome this pandemic? I mean, aside from, of course, the physical distancing, washing your hands, all the advice that's been given by the scientists and the health experts. But for ourselves, what can we do in terms of improving our morale, our sense of that, you know, it is this like hopelessness. And I think this article does remind us that humor is one of these things. And it's called You've Got to Laugh, Why Sense of Humor Helps in These Dark Times. And it's actually based on a book by these two ladies, Jennifer Acker and Naomi Bagdonas, who are, I think, academics at Stanford University who have studied humor for 5 years. And their book is called Humor Seriously. What do you think about the book, Lynn?
Well, obviously, I haven't read the book in detail, but judging from this article, I mean, this article pulls out some of the scientific research, the fact that humor and laughter, so it helps boost happy hormones, it helps to suppress stress hormones, and essentially, you know, the examples that they give here are also quite dire. So in one case, the author, several years ago, her brother awoke to find texts from his best friend to say that, hey, you know, like I'm stuck in a hostage situation. Do you have any jokes for me? And, you know, the brother, and obviously this is quite a serious situation, but considering that there was little else for her brother to do, he just kept texting his friend, you know, like asking him, oh, you know, what are you going to leave on the hotel's feedback form after this, considering the fact that there are armed militants, you know, on the floor below you, things like that. And you know, this is a very extreme example, but even here in this COVID-19 pandemic era, one of the most serious formats generally is news, right? And how many people have seen those compilations of news people sitting, you know, broadcasting from home and being interrupted by their children, by their pets, you know, the weathermen broadcasting from their studio and then the dog comes in and wants to play? All of these things, you know, they kind of help to lift your spirits. I know I've watched several compilations, and considering my dog is asleep about 10 feet away from me, I live in fear that she's also going to wake up and do the same thing here on BFM. But this is just how, this is a coping mechanism, right? And I think that we don't have to, in general, you know, it's great to not take yourself too seriously. But when you have such, you know, serious things happening around you, a little bit of humor can go a long way to helping you kind of weather the storm.
Yeah, for sure. I think the COVID-19 pandemic, because of its requirements of physical distancing, and it seems that we, of course, it has been relaxed, but now we're going back into stricter forms, has also caused, I think, a disconnect between people, right? And so for some people, they're really, really quite alone. They haven't really gone out to see anybody. They don't live with anybody. They don't have family members. So I think humor is this unappreciated and underused superpower. And this is what is exactly said in this article. So laughing gives you this cocktail of hormones that strengthens emotional bonds. So it creates a more resilient you. It allows you to be a little bit more creative, a little bit more resourceful. And it's a good thing because it suppresses cortisol, which is the stress hormone. Now, the question is, yeah, you know this, but where do you find the humor? And I think we have to find the humor in ourselves and the lives around us. And it doesn't have to be like, you know, it doesn't have to be stand-up all the time, although stand-up is hilarious. And you can find it, of course, on YouTube, you can find it on Netflix, on TV. But it's also sometimes, I think, the best form of humor is being able to not take yourself so seriously and laugh at yourself. And I'm one of the most clumsy people and the most duh-duh, that's the word. And whenever I do anything like this, I tell myself, it's okay, Shawnee. It is funny. Laugh at it. Because really, there are no words to describe what you just did. And I think we need to kind of just allow ourselves that and say, okay, this is fine. And it's okay to also, maybe then among your friends, you know, like things like GIFs. This one thing BFM introduced to me. I never knew they existed. And now I find great joy in choosing them and sending them out. So little things like this do make a difference to I think, anyone's lives. But let us know what you think. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Let us know how you're coping with all this that's going on. What is the humor you see in life? Up next, some messages. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was just dropped in by Sharon Jones and the Dab Kings. It is now 6:19 in the morning, Tuesday, 13th of October, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Wong Xiaoning and Lin Mark. Now, we've got this rather interesting article from Fast Company, and it's entitled "The Basic Fact About Social Networks Disadvantages Minorities." It's a very, very long article, and it's actually based on a study. It's a research paper which kind of says that at the end of the day, birds of a feather flock together. So as a result, minority groups are disadvantaged in a work environment. And I think this is something, if you ask me, this study is not revealing anything new. And it's a simple fact, because if you just look at the data, and this is based on, unfortunately, old data. So 2019, 33 out of Fortune 500 companies, only 33 CEO jobs are held by women. So once again, it's a situation whereby the disadvantaged minority women tend to not have such a good time or such an easy time in the working environment. And I think we see this everywhere. It's not just something that happens in the US. It also happens very much in Malaysia, which is why even Bursa, SE are pushing for more women representation at a director's level. What else did you notice about this article, Lin?
Yeah, I mean, this is basically talking about the, you know, the importance of expanding your social bubble, right? And your example of women's representation is quite a good one. I think, Xiaoning, we were just having conversations about women's representation in the political sphere in Sabah as well, for example, considering the fact that I think none of the newly elected state representatives in Sabah are women, and even the candidates that were put forward, there were perilously few. So it just goes to show that in a lot of these cases, it's very difficult to get over your own social bubble or to look beyond it, because this is what's comfortable for you, right? And it's not just from a physiological perspective as well. It's also ideological perspectives, because how do you choose your friends? You choose them on the basis of common characteristics, whether that's race, gender, age, family circumstance, and you also choose them based on, you know, typically, you know, who you agree with, who you can have long conversations with. But that's not always good, because you tend to then eliminate the people, or you drift away from the people whose viewpoints you don't necessarily understand, which means that you are isolating yourself even further. And I don't know about you, but I find myself doing this particularly on social media, because social media obviously allows for you to create that little echo chamber all of your own quite easily. But I try not to do this in real life, although, you know, sometimes you have to catch yourself. I think it basically just boils down to awareness, you know, having that awareness of your own blind spots, and asking people what it is they experience, and actually listening to them.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's unfortunate that we always tend to stick to the views that we're comfortable with, right? So you, like you say, you create your own like echo chamber, your own little bubble. But the other thing about this is that the first step is awareness that you have certain biasness. Even as women, we also have our own biasness. We will hang out with certain people with views that we may agree with, and we don't want to hear any other views. And that's not necessarily a good thing. If anything, we can see this polarization really happening, especially on the political front, especially in the US, for example, right? There's no shades of gray. It's either you're black or you're white, and the two sides can't even get together and have a discussion. So my issue about this is that, you know, it if anything, it has become hardened over time. And how do we overcome this? Because it's not just at work, right? It's also on the social level. It's also on the political level. And then very soon, we won't even be able to have a decent conversation and discuss the differences. We don't always have to agree, but at least we should be able to discuss them. So I wonder how we can overcome this in the longer term. And I wonder, at the end of the day, whether social media, internet actually creates this or makes it actually even worse. Because it's easier to find these like-minded people out there, right? And then you create these little groups of birds, literally, that flock together.
So when it comes to social media particularly, because there have been conversations over the past few years about curating yourself a safe space in your social media, right? So which means let's say you are a minority on social media, you don't necessarily, you may just kind of unfollow people whose views distress you. And this is something that, yes, you know, you are perfectly entitled to enjoying social media without fear. But at the same time, you also have to be aware that those other viewpoints are out there, I guess, is the thing that you always have to keep in mind. And as for the question of how we kind of address this, how we move away from this, I honestly don't know. Because at its heart, I think it is that people like being right. This is human behavior, right? Most people don't want to point out the fact that they're wrong, or that they have that hey, you know, here's this other side of the equation that you completely forgot about. I guess it's just emphasizing the importance of listening to people, even when you don't agree with them.
Yeah, so let us know what you think about the conversation we just had and whether you always need to be right. So WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next is the News Bulletin, and to take us there is Come Undone by Duran Duran. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, good morning, I'm Xiaoning, and this is The Morning Run together with Lin Mark, and that was Gatekeeper by Feist. It is now 6:38 in the morning, Tuesday the 13th of October, and so far we've had some very interesting conversations, in particular with, you know, the importance of humour to keep us going during this COVID-19 pandemic, especially with the implementation or the re-implementation of the CMCO in the Klang Valley, Selangor and Putrajaya. And of course, also that has happened in Sabah. But now we're taking a look at what's happening around the world. So first off is, of course, I think because there is, like I said, a CMCO back in some parts of Malaysia, we are actually, it's timely for us to look at how other countries are responding to the rising COVID-19 cases. And let's start with the UK, because UK's Prime Minister Boris Johnson said that the increasing number of COVID-19 cases is flashing at us like a dashboard warnings in a jet plane. So yesterday he introduced a 3-tier alert system to control the spread of infection. So there are baseline restriction measures which will be applied to areas according to the level of categorization, medium, high, or very high.
So Liverpool is the first region that's been categorized as a very high alert, which means that additional restrictions will be applied, like the closure of pubs, bars, gyms, betting shops, leisure centers, as well as casinos. But retail outlets, schools and universities will remain open in all areas of England. Now, Boris Johnson said that the extreme option of a national lockdown has been ruled out for now. Now, one of the aims behind the 3-tier alert system has been to minimize the confusion over what restrictions apply and where. But local authorities are also given a say in creating specific restrictions for their region. So, you know, it turns out that communication is also a problem in the UK, because there have been complaints that, you know, these arrangements could still be very, end up being very complex and confusing, especially if they are not communicated clearly down the line.
Well, it seems like we are not the only ones in the world facing this issue, right? I think no denying that, you know, health is the most important. But at the same time, the communication seems to be really, really important, because the last thing you want to do is to have your citizens in a somewhat state of confusion or worse, panic as to what applies and what doesn't apply, because we adjust our behaviors accordingly to what we know, right? So sometimes when you don't know something, does that then encourage the wrong kind of behavior, or maybe you end up doing things that you shouldn't be doing in the first place? So I think this is, I think, something that all governments are struggling with. And it's true, I mean, the fact is that there is, and there will probably be until much later, no rule book in terms of how to deal with this COVID-19 pandemic. We can learn things from like the Spanish flu of the 1918s. We can also learn things from SARS. But I think COVID-19 is a whole new, different ball game. And the way it impacted the world is something, it's the really the black swan event that no one could have predicted. I think if you closed your eyes in January and predicted a world where all of us will be wearing masks, we will not be moving around freely, there will be no air travel, it would have something only been seen in movies. So I think the point is, you know, what I would like is a little bit more of clarity, actually. And I know the government struggles. All governments struggle with exactly what they should be doing. But at current juncture, after 7 months later, it happens in UK, it happens in Malaysia. Are we any the wiser? That's the big question.
I think it's really the kind of the snap decisions that are needed to be made that cause the most confusion, right? Because if the government had decided that, okay, we're going to, any government had decided, okay, we're going to announce an alert level, an alert system or a version of a lockdown in one week, 2 weeks time, then you can possibly go down, you know, to the civil service, to the police, to the authorities to explain, okay, here's what we mean by this version of this lockdown. But the problem is that because of the fact that in a lot of these countries, COVID cases are rising. I mean, here we're seeing triple digits for the first time in months. In the UK as well, I think the most recent data shows that the number of COVID cases is rising, and it's rising at a rate faster than it was even in March before that lockdown was imposed. So the government has had to make very quick decisions, and as a result, things fall through the cracks. Is there anything that's to be done about this? I mean, it's easy to call for better communication, but at the end of the day, just by nature of the speed and the amount of bureaucracy that still exists in a lot of these civil service and government levels, I don't know what else can be done other than really, like, you know, pick up the pieces as people make mistakes going forward.
Yeah, I think it's not an easy solution, and there's, like you say, right, no right or wrong answer. But do let us know what you think. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Could things be done better? Up next, we'll be taking a look at the front pages of our daily newspapers and online portals. We'll be back after these messages. So don't go away. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, good morning. I'm Wong Xiaoning with Lin Mark, and this is The Morning Run. It is now 6:50 in the morning, 13th of October, a Tuesday. And that song was Stomp by the Brothers Johnson. And before we take a look at the newspapers in the morning, actually, Ro WhatsApped in, and it's kind of cute. This is in relation to having a sense of humour. And I think a little bit about the birds of the feather also, because he said that perhaps the two are related. If you laugh at yourself more, you won't take yourself so seriously and insist on being right, which is true. I think, you know, it's true in the sense that, you know, you have that sense of humbleness when you are able to kind of poke fun at yourself. And tweeted in, he says, about humour, he says, most of the time, especially Mr. Bean, both Rowan Atkinson and the cartoon, yeah, find that little bit of humour, whether it is, you know, Mr. Roger on YouTube, which is the latest sensation, or some Netflix show, go ahead, you know, give yourself that half an hour, 15 minutes to kind of relax and let the day kind of, the day stresses will kind of semi-melt away. But in terms of headlines, what do you have, Lynn?
So I am looking at the Malay Mail, and their lead story here is a list of notable malls in the Klang Valley with reported COVID-19 cases in this third wave. So Wan Utama's on here, Mid Valley Mega Mall, The Gardens Mall, Bangsa Shopping Centre, Setia City Mall, basically a lot of these. I think the last one is a Damansara Shopping Mall also, previously known as the Tropicana City Mall. Over on the Malaysia Kini, their top story is conditional MCOs back. Here's what you can and cannot do. So this is their Kini guide. So it's kind of a refresher for everyone on what exactly is this conditional movement control order, how far they can travel, whether they can leave their home. And of course, the Malaysian Insight as well has gone with a quote from the Health Director General, Tan Sri Dr. Noh Hisham, who says that CMCOs need it to break the COVID-19 chain.
Yeah, I think, of course, the priority is to flatten that pandemic curve and, like you say, break that chain. But I think there are also question marks as to the implementation of it and the suddenness of it. And I also, my heart does go out to parents who suddenly find out their schools are closed. What do they do? Because some of them are still working and they've gone back to the office. I hope office companies are a little bit more empathic and a bit more flexible when it comes to working from home arrangements. But I'm looking at page 6 of the Malaysian Reserve, and the headline is, Malaysia's unemployed may be much higher, economists warn. Now, the economically, the country has a 30% unemployment rate as our labour participation is below 70%. This is an interesting way of looking at it. And I think with the CMC, or the worry is that, will we see an uptick of the official unemployment rate, which went, I think, from 4.9% in July down to 4.7% in August. And with businesses, you know, I don't know, are they allowed to open after... do they have to close at 6 p.m.? Is dining in allowed or not allowed? Is it just takeaway? All these decisions do have an impact on the economy, and especially on SMEs who are already feeling the pain. And this discussion we're going to continue to have with the president of the SME Association, Michael Kang, at 7:45 to find out what are the issues he thinks many of his members will face. Other headlines, of course, if we look at Malaysian Reserve again, Malindo seeks to cut 2,200 jobs. I think the aviation sector clearly facing incredible headwinds. It doesn't seem like travel bubbles are soon to be open, especially for our country with COVID-19 cases like that. What else do you have, Lynn?
Yeah, no, there's some news from the Ministry of Education that, as you referenced, you know, schools are closing. All educational institutions in Sabah, Selangor, KL and Putrajaya are to be closed during the CMCO. And I know parents on both sides of this divide, right? Some of them will be thankful that at least their children will not have to go to school because they're worried about COVID cases, especially after the case of two students in SK Bangsa. But then on the other hand, it's the struggle for other working parents who don't have easy access to childcare, right? What are they going to do with their children at home, especially if their children are too young to manage for themselves? I think Microsoft recently took the step to make work from home a permanent possibility for its employees. I think some businesses now will also have to face the fact that this is not just a temporary measure. This is quite possibly, you know, a new normal.
Yeah, and I think very quickly, page 10 of the Star, Budget 2021 to focus on recovery. This is Tunku Zafro. I wonder whether he might have to change some of his plans with the implementation of the CMCO, because he had come on CNBC to say that there will be no lockdowns, which is not the case. So, I think budget has to be adjusted because there will be some economic scar tissue as a result of this closure. Nonetheless, you know, business confidence and psychology are very important things that cannot be ignored and not so easily repaired, you know. But that's all from the papers this morning. Coming up next is a 7 a.m. news bulletin, followed by more business news and analysis, where we'll be speaking to Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management, to find out where global markets are heading. But first, here's Ticket to Ride by The Beatles. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.